Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Eat my dust, slime ball!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by special guest, and probably the most high-profile guest Thumb Cramps has ever had, the only person that is actively on Thumb Cramps and actively in the video games industry, Pepper.
Hello. Hi. Yes, I'm Pepper.
And today we are looking at developing a contract for Hitman 3 and other games. So, Pepper, you work in the QT department for IO Interactive.
Yes.
And also, recently, you developed one of the contracts for Hitman 3.
Yes, exactly. One of the custom contracts that are made within the game by other players, and then in the end can be featured on the front page each month.
That's so cool.
And it's basically you get the map and you get to do whatever you want. Choose your own targets, how you want to do it. Make up your own story about it.
Hell yeah.
Part of the reason that I reached out to you for this contract is because the story behind the contract you made is something that I can relate to so much and rules so hard. Because I was watching a Twitch stream that IO Interactive did announcing the featured contracts for, I think it was the previous month or the month before, where yours was there. And you were interviewed about it, and it turns out that the target you chose for your contract was solely spite-based.
Yes.
Can you please elaborate?
Tell us this story, because it rules so much.
So, during development, I worked very closely on a specific map, and there's a character who isn't a target from the beginning, but he is part of the important NPCs, and he is this real proper douchebag, and when working around that area of the level, I had to listen to this guy try to pick up one of the staff girls over and over, like hundreds and hundreds of times. So it would just end up with me going into the level, shooting him, and then proceeding with working, because I knew I was going to have to interact with him either way. And when I get the opportunity, it's like, hey, you want to create a contract? Do you know what to do? It's like, yeah, I know this for a year and a half by now. This prick is going down.
So before you did anything else, you would get at the level, like, you would just be like, step one, kill this man. Get rid of him. Yeah. That's so funny.
All right, I'm just going to quickly test to make sure that there's no glitches in this level, make sure, like, everything's working as it is. But obviously, step one with that is to shoot this man. Once we shoot this man, then we can just get back to work, everyone.
Thanks, Papa, for finding the glitch, because you just walk us through your steps. Yeah, obviously. Okay. Step one, obviously, kill this prick. Okay, okay.
The best thing talked with my coworkers about it, they were like, oh, yeah, I completely understand you. I hate him as well. Because his whole skit is that they are out in middle of nowhere, England, and the day before he had picked up one of the other maids and took her to town and all of that jazz, and then the day after he ignores her, and there's a whole different like side story about that. And when you meet him in the game, he tries to pick up another one of the maids, at the same time as he's berating one of the male staffs. And this is like a 10-minute conversation that they are having where he's like, oh, do you like books? Books. You look like you like books. Do you like food? Like, just doing his worst trying to pick her up.
Do you think if the person who did the lines, like the voice acting for that, found out that they were a target, they would be like, I think they would understand, right? They'd be like,
yeah,
fair. Imagine having to do it for 10 minutes. You'd be happy someone was killing you.
Yeah. And the voice, like, do you have to interact with the voice? So at your job, not in the game, do you have to, are the voice actors in-house or are they hired externally? Do you have, pretty much I'm asking, do you know the guy that you're killing?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
That's fair.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I realized that was actually a pretty stupid question, because if you're making a video game, having an entire voice acting cast just in the building just for when the game needs lines, insane.
It's sitting there in a cupboard.
Especially after the fact when you're doing all the, to what? To what end? Hey, man, great job. Thank you, yeah.
Get the f*** back in the cupboard.
Hey!
Emma!
You?
Oh, damn
Emma!
You may be a high-profile guest. No. You may be a high-profile guest, but this is a family show.
I'm saving
talk
mine.
About... And as with all family shows, getting a video game's fine.
Yeah, of
saying
course.
The F word? Bad. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say getting sucked off by a video game horse. It's fine. I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but like, just ending in a video game shocked me. I'm so excited. I've got my F-bomb then, dude. It's sitting there waiting. It's like a C-mine for you down the track. Get ready. Is there, because like, obviously I'm assuming you've played like through quite a bit of the game. Are there any other characters that you would love to make future targets? Like, if you got to do it again, is there anyone else who you loathe? Obviously, I don't think you're going to loathe anyone quite as much, but is there anyone else out there you'd like to kill?
I'm not quite sure, actually, because this track was the one that I worked the most with. I bet, like, if I go through it again, there's probably another character I want to kill as well, but there, I don't think there's anyone that I feel this much hatred towards as this man.
So good. What vindication? You've received vindication unlike anybody else on Earth by getting the opportunity to kill this man. That's incredible.
Yeah, be rewarded for it, because it's the mission now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can get... look. My Hitman knowledge a little rusty, but I'm pretty sure this means you can now get Silent Assassin killing him, where if previously if you just killed him for fun, I don't think you can get that because I don't think you're allowed to kill civilians, you can only kill the target, unless I'm wrong, in which case, yeah.
You're exactly right.
Oh, well done. Well done,
I am the king of gaming.
Yeah.
That I haven't played enough to be confident with, turns out, locked.
Still up there in the old noggin. Up there in the old noggin. That's incredible.
So, with the contract, another thing that I'm curious about is, because obviously, like you said, the community can make some, and then it's, like, whatever gets featured. So, does that mean that your boss has approached you to make this, or did you make it in your free time, and then they were like, funny, you're featured now.
I spoke with the marketing guys about this idea, and it turns out that me and Clemens, the guy I had the interview with, had that idea as well, basically at the same time.
This man was so loathed. So
like company-wide. The Jackson Bailey of Hitman.
Yeah. That's great. Company-wide, everyone was, you're like, I want to kill him. They're like, we know exactly who you're about to say. Yes. And the answer is yes. It's done. That's incredible.
So another thing is, like, I'm not sure if this is every month, but I know that the month that your contract was selected, there was a theme, and the theme was it vengeance
it was
or
envy.
Jealous
envy.
Because we have the DLC, the Seven Deadly Sins, which are seven specially made contracts that all reflect one of the seven deadly sins. So
that's cool.
They wanted us to, like, make up a story about how, or that would fit in with the, with that month's Deadly Sin.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done with the previous 6 months as well, is that they've asked the community to create something that will reflect that month's, sin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Because it's funny also just to shoehorn in like a story, because it's funny to be like, yeah, Envy. Yeah, obviously this contract is based around Envy. No, yeah. It's not. It's based around you hating one guy. We're on Team Pep.
It's Wrath if it's anything.
That's yeah, cool. I was like, I have to make something up now and just write some story that fits in.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, it could
no,
be like
there's no way you're trying to figure out a way to make an MV, but I don't think you can, Dushan. We got to assume, we got to accept that a grift happened here, okay? One of the most incredible gaming grifts ever, and we snuck in murdering a man we hated as Envy, and that's incredible. I applaud that.
I made it into something being that the brother of the dumped maid got angry at him. And then it was like, they are super rich and it's easy to be envious of money. So you also have to kill his mother because she's rich.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that checks out. That works. You got it in.
But secretly, the actual plot is that we hate this guy and we need to wipe out his entire family line.
Yes.
Just it in case there's him. More.
Yeah.
That's how so satisfying.
Yeah.
So, Pepper, you're obviously, you float around like the Twitch communities and stuff like that. I mean, that's how we have got you on the show. This isn't just a one-off where we hit up, IO Interactive and we're like, give us one of your guys. So have you seen anyone streaming through your contract and being able to jump in and be like, did you also hate this guy?
Unfortunately, no. Like I follow, a bunch of people who do Hitman streams, and some of them know what I do and who I am, and some of them don't. But unfortunately, I haven't caught anyone actually playing the contract. But I have seen like Reddit posts about people hating it, so that's something.
Hating the contract?
What? Why? What could they possibly hate about it?
Because I made it specifically as hard as possible, because there's a bunch of requirements, like you're not allowed to be spotted by NPCs, you're not allowed to knock anyone out, you're not allowed to kill or knock out any non-targets, you can't switch your suit and stuff like that, and I just made it as hard as possible, and that really got on people's nerves.
Yeah, well, I was gonna make the bold claim before I heard that part that I was gonna buy Hitman and stream me just doing this one contract. Now I've changed my mind, and well, I'm going to convince friend of the show Adam, who loves Hitman, to do it for me,
because
I've seen him do things like this before. Where me,
yeah, it's a kite. Yeah,
I
no,
roll
you're
into
not doing
a level,
it.
And then guys are yelling at me, and I'm like, I haven't even what? I'm just a guy. I haven't done anything yet. Yeah, I'm no different from any of you.
Yeah, playing Hitman for me is also just getting screamed at by the people in the game and the people watching me play Hitman. Yeah, but it brings me a lot of joy to know that friend of the show Adam isn't here, given how powerfully he's a Hitman head. Like, it's his life and his love. And the fact that he's not here talking about it, that brings me joy, you know?
The next con... So if we do another Seven Deadly Sins round, Adam's going to submit a contract where you've got to kill Jackson Bailey mid-podcast recording.
Yeah. That's easy. That's just push my head into the ground and I'll stop wriggling eventually or whatever.
It's like a hidden
Jackson, hold your breath. Okay.
And then, hey, Jackson, done. I'll give you this crisp $5 note if you hold your breath for 10 minutes. You don't even need to do anything. You actually have to do less than you normally do. Just stop breathing. You're like, all right.
Yeah, that's easy. I'll give you this crisp $5 note, Jackson, if you hold your breath till you die. Yeah, all right.
Hey, buddy.
You're going to resuscitate me, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'll find out at the end. That's great. Yeah.
So, have you developed previous contracts before, Papa?
No, I have not.
Do you have any in the future? Like, is it going to be something you're doing more of?
We'll just have to see. It's something I work with, but I'm so bad at it. Like watching other people do this, it's like, oh, this is super interesting, and they make super cool levels with different requirements that are actually like really well developed. And here I come and just go boop boop boop. I don't like you.
But I feel like Like, if I knew that, like, you know, previous, I would probably just enjoy the contract to kill the guy because it sounds like a lot of fun. And I like the challenge of it as well. But knowing the backstory of it would make it a million. I reckon everybody listening right now who has Hitman is going to go out and enjoy that, like, tenfold, knowing what's going into it on the back end. I think that makes it so much richer.
What's the name of the level and what's the name of the guy? Just if you want to go out there and give him the business.
So my featured contract is called Family Matters. And the character's name is Patrick Carlyle. And he's very, very easily recognizable because he looks like a douchebag.
Fair.
With wearing shades while inside and wearing a like a golf shirt with poker patterns on it.
Oh, come on.
No. This guy sucks.
It's bad already. It's bad to see someone wearing golf clothes on a golf course, let alone elsewhere. Why do we need special clothes to play golf? Christ.
Just wear normal clothes.
You can golf in jeans.
You get booted off of golf clubs if you don't wear the proper clothing.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know. What am I gonna think? They're like, you're playing golf without the baggy pants on. Do you know how dangerous that is to be playing golf without a stupid little cap, dude?
Jackson, I can imagine you rolling up to play golf in denim jeans. Denim shorts is what I tried to say there.
Mm-hmm.
Long sleeve shirt.
That's already a crazy look.
Big jorts.
Jorts and like one of those little jean sleeve, like Nelson Muntz wears, you know, like sleeveless denim jacket and nothing else. And I'm like, what's going to go wrong? And then a golf ball hits me square in the sternum. They're like, this is why.
What do you mean that's why a polo shirt's not going to stop you from getting hit in the sternum with a golf ball?
It'll hurt slightly less.
Maybe.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
It's crazy. In your head, you wear baggy pants when you golf. They're just like slacks.
Yeah, they're a bit baggy.
I think the pants are the least... problematic clothing there.
Yeah. It's bad when they're shorts, because then you've got like a polo shirt tucked into shorts, but the shorts look like slacks, but they're just short. Everyone's always wearing long socks with it.
It's a truly grim situation.
Yeah. Just wear regular guy clothes when you play golf. It's not hard. And then the people at the golf club will scream at you for ruining the green.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know that you have the moral high ground because you don't look like a moron.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you have to rock up in wearing footy cleats as well, just to make it even worse. Yeah.
That's great, because everywhere you walk in the golf course, you're tearing up the green as you go from hole to hole. That's wonderful.
Wear ice skates if you can. Or rollerblades.
Do that, and then attach to the back of your pants a plow. So as you're moving to the golf course, you're just destroying the green as you go. And then if I saw someone wearing that inside, I wouldn't hate them. I'd be like, I'd be scared because I wouldn't know what was happening, but I wouldn't hate them.
Excuse me, sir. You're very unhinged if you're wearing that.
Excuse me, sir. Are you a tractor? What's happening here?
Sir, I am terrified of you, but I respect that you're a maniac and you do not abide by these rules.
Exactly. At least you're not in golf pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir, are you a tractor? Because I want you to plow me.
Hey!
Whoa! That's a great pickup line for anyone with a plow attached to the back of their pants.
But also could go terribly wrong, because maybe they just drag their plow over you, cutting you in half.
Planting little seeds in the divots they've made. What a way to go. Jesus Christ.
It's the best way to go.
Yeah.
So, Pepper, how many thumbs for developing a contract where you finally got to kill the guy you hate in Hitman 3?
Yeah, good question.
10 thumbs and a knuck.
Whoa!
10 thumbs and a knuck. So that's game of the year plus a knuck.
Game of the year plus a knuck. Far out. That's spectacular.
So, like I said, I have played the Hitman games, but I don't think I own... at least I don't read any of the new ones. I think I've got Hitman 2 Silent Assassin or whatever it's called on Steam, which I haven't played for a while. But anyway, nothing has made me want to buy Hitman 3 more than knowing that there's a guy that I will absolutely hate.
Me too.
And that I can simply just shoot with a gun.
Hitman's typically one of those games that I really like playing, but I know I'm playing it so wrong that I don't play it. But this has made me desperate to get back in.
Now that I know that a quality tester of the game plays the game like how I want to play the game, that makes me feel better about the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I worked with it for over 2 years, and I'm still absolutely trash at it. I watch people stream it and go like, oh, you can do that? Huh, cool.
So, Jackson,
All right.
What have you been playing?
So I think on the very last episode of this podcast, very last episode, that felt weird to say. But anyway, on the last episode...
This is season two now.
Wow, it happened. No, I reviewed Mario Party, the latest Mario Party. Mario Party Superstars, I think it's called. And in that, I was like, I've been playing it alone. The saddest little Mario Partier that there is.
Mario Party for one.
But recently, I finally convinced my partner to play Mario Party with me. So I've been playing Mario Party with my partner, which is how the game is meant to be played, not by yourself. Also, I don't want to sway anybody of this mental image, but when I say finally convinced my partner, it does make you imagine me begging on my hands and knees.
Please,
you could be any character. I don't care.
I usually play as Luigi or whatever, but if you want to play as Luigi, that's fine.
I'll let you win. I just need someone to play it with me.
When I brought up that I play Mario Party for one in my video game podcast, everyone bullied me.
You know the video game podcast I do, honey? Do you still find me sexually attractive? I don't want to sway anybody of that mental image, but no, she was actually very willing. I think I just didn't really ask properly the last time. Anyway,
hey babe, you want to play this piece of shit or whatever? No.
And you want to play Mario Farty or whatever, the fart game by Nintendo? I don't know. Yes, I don't want to anymore.
That must have been a code name for one of the Wario games.
Mario Farty. But yes, obviously this game has been designed to play with more than one person. And the moment you do, the game becomes twice as interesting and twice as engaging. And
I like that it went from 10 times to 2 times. So...
Well, I said 10 times and then I was like, well, actually, if we had two other people playing, that would be even more fun. So I got to adjust my scale accordingly. My partner is a very meticulous person, so we have only played the first two maps multiple times. For me, I'm like, I want to do, let me just do every board once, and then I'll be bored of the game. But she's like, no, we're going to do this one as many times as we can to get it right. And then this one as many times as we can to get it right. And also, the mini games, I mean, Dusha, we've played Mario Parties together.
Yeah.
You know when they give you the practice for the mini game? I'm not interested in practicing.
Yeah, and you are like, do not even tell me what this game is. I want to go straight into this mini game and just be a guy standing in a thing and it'll be like, go! And you'll be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
What do I do? And then I'll die and I'll be like, why'd that happen? And everybody's justifiably mad. Somehow with every mini game, I'm like, I'll do it on the day, which is crazy. No rehearsals. We'll do it live. But no, as I said, she's quite a meticulous person. So I'm learning the mini games this way.
Hey, that's cool.
I'm
seeing as every minigame, you can hold the controller in like 8 different ways of completing it.
Oh, I'll never truly learn them, you know? But I'll get close. I at least know what I'm doing in a lot of them. I gotta say, I think I said this in the last review as well, that the minigames in this are just all good. I've yet to play a dud so far. I definitely haven't played all 100, but like, yeah, I feel like in certainly the previous Mario Party for the Switch, like 90% of those minigames sucked shit. They were just like, remember how many Goombas there are, or whatever. These ones are at least a little bit interesting, or whatever.
Yeah, remember how many Goombas and a Koopa Troopa there are.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like a collection of Mario games from before.
So I think pretty much they've collated all of the best possible mini games from all of the. I think in the last one we found out it was just up to GameCube. I think maybe I don't know if they
incorrect.
Went to the Wii. All right.
So last episode, we found out that there's 5 boards. All 5 boards are from the Nintendo 64 era. The mini games go from Mario Party 1 to Mario Party 10.
Oh, okay.
Mario Party
10
being the Wii U one, and we'll get to that later.
I think they've definitely got the best ones. You know, you've got your, like, everybody is against each other or whatever. You've got your 2v2 and your 1v3 or whatever. And They're all good. 1v3s are really weird because they're always weighted either for the one or the three. And my favorites are the ones where they're weighted heavily against the one. When you're watching Donkey Kong roll around in a barrel and you're slamming his head with coconuts, incredible. something though, because I've been playing it quite a bit now. Like, we play it, like, you know, maybe every second night or whatever. We do like a 10 round game. Here's the thing. I don't know if this is true or if this is just my brain. Okay, but it feels like, so you pick the
before you even finish this, I'm like 90% sure the answer is going to be it's just your brain.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you, but hear me out. Okay, so you pick the difficulty of the NPCs, right?
Yes.
But no matter how easy we make Luigi, he's still this vindictive son of a bitch. He's too clever. He's sneaky. He keeps on tricking us. And no matter how clever you make Donkey Kong, he's still the stupidest ape on the board. And I don't know what's happening there. Donkey Kong will intentionally pick the you can pick any number dice, right? And then he'll pick three and he'll move three spaces to like a Bowser space. And you'll be like, did you want to do that, Donkey Kong? Was that what you were aiming for? Or sometimes in like mini games where it's like you, like a two-player one specifically, where you've both got to row at the same time or whatever. You'll be rowing your heart out and Donkey Kong will just be sitting there holding the oars, just looking off into the middle distance. No matter how clever he is, he's still stupid.
Yeah, but do you think that maybe it's metagame clever and if he's teamed up with you, he's hard.
That's true.
Because he's a hard CPU and he's teamed up with you. He's intentionally bad in 2v2 mini games so that you also lose.
What about this? Let me describe a situation. You tell me why what he did.
We're making hand gestures now. I'm not sure why, but...
All right, what's your theory?
Donkey Kong is played by somebody who plays Dark Pictures thingamajig and doesn't do any choices.
Yes! They're just doing that. What if I just stand there and vacantly look ahead? Which is what Donkey Kong does all the time.
And look, this wouldn't make any sense, but I hope that they're just like, when they were setting like easy, medium, hard, they just looked at because this would also be pretty Nintendo, but to look at the characters that are in the game and just assign them a base level intelligence.
Well, that's what it kind of feels like. Like, it genuinely feels like Donkey Kong is stupider than the other players and that Luigi is sneakier than the other players.
I don't think that's too far-fetched, though. It sounds like something they would do to like give them the characters more personality. Donkey Kong is thick as porridge, and Luigi is a sneaky little one.
It's true.
One's a weasel and one's an ape.
Yeah, exactly. Donkey Kong as well, he has this positive vibe throughout the whole game that I adore. When Donkey Kong gets coins, he gives me a thumbs up. He gives the camera a thumbs up. And I'm like, yeah, that is sick, Donkey Kong. Whenever it's like who's going to get a bad thing happening to them, Donkey Kong clasps his hands above his head like he's praying. It's great.
Okay, so who do you reckon he's praying to? The Christian god or some kind of ape god?
Some kind of ape god. Definitely.
Ape god.
Cranky Kong, I reckon he's praying to. Ooh. He also makes horse noises, which is great about Donkey Kong.
I would say he makes gorilla noises.
They sound like a horse. Anyway, so there's a mini game, and you might remember this mini game depending on how many Mario Parties you've played, where there's a bunch of fruit rolling down a slope, right? And there's a little block in front of the slope or whatever, and you have a basket, and you hit the block, and it's either one or two, and that's how much fruit rolls down the slope into your basket. And there's also like a beehive. And the point is, because you're kind of, everybody's doing it one after the other, to kind of time it so that the people behind you cop the beehive, okay? You kind of get how the vibe. Anyway, so Donkey Kong had a big watermelon and the beehive, and he was standing underneath it, and it was like one. We were like, wow, Donkey Kong, that's the obvious choice. Two, and he was like, two. And then he gave himself the beehive. We were like, why? To what end, Donkey Kong? You should have lost. I mean, you should have won. Anyway.
Stung by bees?
Oh, they must. what's that, Papa?
Are you Donkey Kong?
Yeah. I, Jackson, am Donkey Kong. Yeah, it's funny if I was saying all of this and I'd been playing Donkey Kong the whole time. Why is he so dumb? I don't get it. Oh, yeah, and in this minigame, I got stung by bees. I don't know why.
Who is he? You said before, you said last time, which wasn't last
Peach,
time. I think it was
for some
before.
Reason, I mostly play Peach. I don't know
who
really
why. Who does
your
partner play as?
She
Mario?
Plays as she goes Birdo. Which is great. Birdo has a big ring in this. Like, she just got married. I don't know what that's about. But she's
that's
got a
sick.
Huge... Yeah. And she makes does heaps of great make... noise. Like... a weird thing... I don't know if I mentioned it on the last episode, but a weird addition that this has... I think I did, is that you can press buttons when it's not your turn on your controller to make stickers pop up. So, yeah. Okay, so what you can do... is you can go left or right, L1 or R1 or whatever, and a little sticker of your character will pop up either saying, great, because it's Peach, great, or wow, when a bad thing happened. So you can communicate to your friends who are in the room with you most of the time that you're displeased or that you're happy or whatever. I don't know why it's there, but I like annoying my partner with it. She does not like how much I make Peach go, whoa! Yeah.
Nintendo do this with a couple of games, and I'm sure it's not just exclusive to Nintendo, but it's games that I've noticed it the most. Actually, Age of Empires also has it, so it's not just Nintendo. I'm just letting people do stuff when they're in the lobby that's meant to be helpful, but no one ever uses it in a helpful way.
Absolutely.
So in Mario Kart, for instance, there's like a lot of prompts you can make your Mii say while you're just waiting for the next race. Just spamming like, okay, or better luck next time. Funny,
Absolutely. But
so annoying.
It's funny when I do it, but not when you do it.
Oh,
yeah. Hilarious when I do it.
Let me say, like, I'm out here saying it's annoying every single time I'm given the option.
Yeah.
In Age of Empires, there's, like, secret voice commands that if you type in chat, plays, like, a voice clip.
Huh, that's cool.
And, me and enemy of the show, Hayden, usually just spam. There's one that just goes, start the game already!
That's great.
Anytime we're in a lobby, even if like we're streaming or if we're just trying to do something, you just hear, start the game already! Ready. Start the game! Start the game already!
Yeah. Now, like I say, like I'm talking a big game about, you know, using it to hassle my partner, but if she was making Birdo go, wah, I'd be... equally as infuriated. I guess the point of the stick is
you know what? I want a Mario Party for one again.
Yeah, maybe I missed playing by myself. That was nice. Nobody was mean to me.
Except Luigi. Always except Luigi.
He's so vindictive, dude. It sucks. I hate him. But yeah, so look, it's more fun with one extra person, and I'm sure it'd be even more fun with two extra people. I think the only downside of two extra people is you wouldn't be able to make a clever Luigi and a stupid Donkey Kong happen, because some of the best moments are watching Donkey Kong make a stupid decision and being like, why'd you do that, buddy? Why'd you lose on purpose?
Jackson, with everything opening up and like the world kind of getting back to a more regular place, at some point, me and you will probably have to travel together again.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
imagine...
Yeah.
May I just pitch you an aeroplane? We're on it.
Ooh, Nelly. I mean, we played Mario Kart on takeoff. Mario Party on takeoff in the middle of a particularly complicated minigame. Yes, please.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm get away with that anymore. So, obviously, when you're on a plane, they're like, please switch off all electronic devices during takeoff and landing. But last time we were on planes together... Switch was kind of new, so they kind of just like let us, but they shouldn't have. I feel like that maybe we're gonna get yelled at by
somebody,
a flight attendant.
That would be funny.
Maybe the pilot. Pilot would come out and be like, boys,
I can sense that switch.
What do you got, a Nintendo Switch? He'll pick it up and he'll throw it out the window. Why did that just
throw it into the window?
Bounces back, hits you in the face, Jackson.
That was somehow worse.
Can I get a free flight for this? No.
I'm thinking about like trying to complete a minigame while there's like turbulence and everybody's like, fasten your seatbelts. You're going to get... It's going to be no gravity now.
Whoa!
There was... So Jackson and I have been on a flight where I'm pretty sure we were playing Mario Kart and we were looking at a screen. And this sounds like I'm making it up, but the only part that I'm not 100% sure on is I can't remember if we were actually playing Mario Kart at this time or if we were trying to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And I remember we were on a flight and we had the TV in the back of the seat switched to like looking at footage of the plane It's like a camera attached to the plane, so you can watch your own plane fly. It was just lightning striking right near the plane.
Yeah, that was in the middle of like the biggest storm ever. I think we were playing Mario Kart because I remember looking up from it and being like, "We're gonna die!
Our plane's getting struck by lightning, and we're playing Mario Kart." Oh, you hit me with a blue shell!
Yeah, good times.
I always get hit with a blue shell because I'm always winning.
I never get hit with a blue shell. Cop that.
I'm always seventh or something. I'm Jackson.
So yeah, look, five thumbs. It's great. It's fun. Mario Party's a good game. You knew that.
Yeah.
What have you been playing, Dusha?
So this week, and here's a little bit of a, I guess like a secret behind the scenes thing.
Ooh.
Last episode we recorded versus this episode we recorded, not that many days apart. You get to hear them a week apart. I think we recorded these episodes like 3 days apart. So
yeah,
I haven't had a new game on my plate. But one thing that I have been doing the last 3 days, and something that I haven't done since I was in high school, is I've been like, because obviously as I established in an episode or last week or the week before, we have a Wii U now, Jackson.
Yeah, we're Wii U boys.
And I got the Wii U through thrift shopping. Just like looking around, checking like eBay, but also secondhand stores, trying to get the best deal possible. Now, we got a Wii U, but we didn't get any games straight off the bat. And even though I put a call out for some nice listeners to send us free games for no reason, to send us their personal belongings with no, like, no indication we'll do anything good with them or even acknowledge it. And for some reason, no one sent them to us.
Also,
I don't understand.
It's very funny to bring that up after saying that we did the episode 3 days ago. In the 3 days between these episodes, where were you guys?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the week before I brought it up. So in the 10 days, we haven't got anything. And yeah, sure, people may have actually sent us stuff because there is a global postage delay at the moment. But frankly,
who can say?
Yeah, anyway, so basically what I've been doing is big time back on my bullshit of just like going to like a whole bunch of secondhand electronics stores, browsing online, Facebook Marketplace,
that rolls.
Just like looking for deals.
You're on the hunt. You're on the art of the deal, baby. Yes.
Just like your hero, Jackson. So, yeah, it's just been, like, a lot of, and, like, I listen to, like, I have, like, a pretty big record collection, so, like, I'm used to this for, like, music stuff, I guess. But, yeah, like, I used to be, like, into retro gaming when I was in high school, like, buying Super Nintendo games and stuff like that, so I'm kind of used to it, but I haven't done it in, like, 15 years.
What's the scene like? Has the scene changed?
Yeah, the scene has changed a bit, actually. So, first of all, people do their research now. Terrible. Oh. It's awful. People know the value of their shit.
Yeah, that sucks.
How am I meant to swindle people if people can use Google to fix... And it's exciting. Oh, no.
Oh, that's so bad. I know. It used to be you'd wind up at a garage sale. You'd see, like, Ocarina of Time inbox for, like, $3. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll buy this worthless game off you. Thank you, $3. Mr. Garage Sale.
I got this $2 coin. How about that?
I got a goddamn spit in a wink. How about that, buddy?
But here's my little hint to you that's also going to blow the industry wide open. If you're looking at like places like Cash Converters or whatever, at least in Australia,
yeah.
If you look for more rural places for secondhand games, they usually have things that like they'll do the normal price online, whatever the price online is. But then they have like sales on top of that because their stock doesn't move that much because it's in a rural town.
That's clever.
You can just buy it online and then it just ships from them to you and you're like, oh yeah, sweet. So anyway, we got Mario Party 10. Ooh. Jackson, I found it and I got it for $29 Australian, which is nothing.
True bargain. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I've been doing is going into like, well, I mean, we got a Wii U from a secondhand music and video game store, but it's just owned by like a guy that's just like vibes out his prices.
Oh, I miss that. That's the best. Vibing a price.
Yeah, we have that as well. We have a record store that's basically like down the street from my home. It's like there's nothing regular about any of the prices. It's
like, so good.
Like your price should end with either a 0 or 5. And he's like, 2, 3, 8.
Well, there's something that, because like a record in Australia, like a brand new album, especially from like a local band, will be usually around like $30 to $40, but I've noticed that there's some record stores in Australia that just charge $33 because that's the speed that records play.
Shut up, record store guys.
I'll pay the extra $3 just this little joke. But yeah, that's like, so this funny. Record store where this guy's just vibing out the prices, like, there was, like, a pretty rare record by a band I really like, but it's, like, an emo-adjacent band, so the guy was like, I mostly just stock 70s and 80s stuff. This record's, like, $150 online, but I just put it for 70 and just hope someone would buy it. And I was like, well, today is your lucky day.
What's good about vibe places as well is that if you're charming enough, you know you're going to get it cheaper, you know, and that's nice. And we're all very charming people, so
yeah,
you're guaranteeing $10 knocked off, you know?
I hope that, Jackson, you're like, oh, they suss out, like, oh, this guy's charming. He seems very dumb, so I'm going to say I'm doing him a deal and just add $10.
Let me just check something. Dude, do you know how much this is worth? Nah. I got no gauge whatsoever, man.
I haven't even read the price you put on it.
You could charge me $200, $100, $50. I wouldn't know the difference. Yeah,
that just sounds like our latest D&D session where we would haggle for a health potion. It was like 50 gold. I was like, can I persuade him? I was like, yeah, try 60 gold. And it just ended up being like 95 gold. It's like, damn it.
That's the dream.
But yeah, one other cool thing with, like, just, like, you know, not going through the regular means. So obviously, like, there is, like, retail stores that offer secondhand games, and they're, like, standard pricing. But you always get, like everything's checked, where the Wii U we bought not only had the previous profile not been erased, so therefore it came with a bunch of free games.
Oh, yeah.
It also had a game in the disc drive that no one had checked for. And yeah, it's Star Fox Zero, a very loathed game that is apparently a nightmare to play, which adds appeal to it for me, because trying to teach myself a new way, like, it's kind of like when I was talking about Sin and Punishment last week, how that is made to be holding the Nintendo 64 controller with the left prong.
Yeah, that's
the middle prong. Well, yeah, with the Wii U, they were trying to invent new ways of holding a controller. And Star Fox, you've got to move the gamepad in front of the TV, but also be looking at the TV and the gamepad. The human brain can't really comprehend
that's great.
So yeah, we got that. And yeah, there's just been, like, a lot of crazy stuff going. Anyway, basically what I'm saying is, yeah, people have ruined retro games by, like, this whole boom, and that's definitely a scam.
Yeah.
Like, getting Nintendo 64 games minted and whatever. Shut up. I got Ocarina of Time right here. I'll give you, if anyone wants to buy my copy of Ocarina of Time for $10,000, I'll sell it to them. I'll sign it. I'll even sign it.
That's too, you're giving it away then for $10,000.
But yeah, it is nice to know that even though the retro gaming thing has been ruined by idiots and scams and auction houses and whatever, there's still guys out there just vibing it out.
Yeah, that's good.
And you can
hear.
Track down those guys. That's a good time. And the funny thing is, like, I haven't even really played the Wii U. I've spent most of my time just
I wonder if you ever will in many ways. You know what I mean?
Well, I set it up properly again yesterday. Okay. Because, like, another thing is, like, because there was a game disc in there, I was like, well, that also means I haven't cleaned it, so I should probably clean it.
Fair.
And yeah, just, like, setting everything up, making sure it works and whatever. So yeah, like, it's good to go. I reckon next episode I'll be like, I've played Nintendo Land.
Yeah, that's...
And everyone will be like, thank you for your Nintendo Land review in 2021.
It's about time. Now I can know whether or not to get Nintendo Land. Spoiler, you should. That game ruled. Big fan.
Five thumbs for the thrift shopping retro games, even though they're not that retro because it's a Wii U. But yeah, hey, now is a great time to... I'm hearing that it's actually a great time to start thinking about getting into both the Wii U, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360.
Oh, true, yeah. I'm hearing it's a good time to get into thrift shopping for the Wii U, PlayStation, and Xbox 360. Yeah.
Yeah, because all of those consoles, very cheap, they're everywhere, and, like, PS3 in particular, because it wasn't, like, a loved console when it came out because it was so expensive.
Yeah.
And, if you ever missed the boat, buy one now, I reckon. Because a lot of the exclusive games and stuff like that are pretty cheap and everywhere.
Yeah.
That's just my tip to you. And also, if you want to send me Wii U games, reach out. And if you want to buy my copy of Ocarina of Time for $10,000, also reach out.
That'd be amazing.
Now, it's been a great episode so far, but it's going to hit a whole new height right now.
Ready to peak. Here it is.
A quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, it's all downhill from here. That's how it goes. Well, yeah.
Now it's downhill. It's the listeners' email segment. Wow, Jackson. I'm trying to sort out our listeners with a great deal. Here you are saying it's the worst part of the show.
I'm just spitting facts, dude. I don't know.
Okay, so let's start off with a baffling email we got. And this is probably the most confusing one of the week. This is from Matt, who simply forwarded us an email from Niantic announcing Pikmin Bloom with no other context.
Great. My partner's been playing Pikmin Bloom heaps. So I got the inside scoop. I mean, I don't know if they want to know about it or if they want to know if we're playing it or what, but it seems really cute. You can send out your Pikmin.
What do you do? Like, I know Pikmin and I know Niantic, but
so
is it just Pokemon Go but Pikmin?
Kind of, a little bit. So the way it works is that this is as far as I can tell. You go for a walk and you set it to like pay attention and plant flowers while you walk. You also, anyway, that happens somehow. You also get, I don't know what that does. You collect petals, but also my partner has like thousands and thousands of petals. And she doesn't know what to do with them. I think that, like, because she was in from the very beginning, from the beta, because she loves Pikmin. So I think it's, like, in the beta or whatever, they just overloaded everybody with petals, which I think are, like, the currency. I don't know. Also, you get your Pikmin, and sometimes your Pikmin want to go and get you presents from places in the area. And when they come back with those presents, depending on where, like, if they went to, like, a grocery store or, like, a pharmacy or a park, they get, like, a cute little costume or whatever. So, like... But in the early beta, it was cooked. It was, and I'll use my F-bomb now, fucked. I was running out of time, so I just had to get it out there. But anyway, it logged everywhere, no matter where it was, as tropical. So all of her Pikmin were coming back with bananas. Like, just like, she has hundreds of banana Pikmin that have like banana hats or are wearing a banana skin or whatever. So that was pretty funny.
She's playing a Donkey Kong mode. That's sick.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, she'd be like, oh, I got another present. And we'd be like, oh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? She's like, another banana Pikmin. Okay. So, but yeah, it's fixed now and she's getting toothpaste Pikmin. Some are in little cups. It's cute.
Yeah, I still don't know what the point of the game is because you just described features and not the game itself. But
I don't know the point of the
game. If I want to try it out, Matt has kindly sent us an email where I can just hit get now in App Store.
Thanks, Matt.
And now another very straightforward email. The opposite. There's no into this email whatsoever. It's brief. It's short. It's from Bryce. Hey, Joel, Jackson, and Pepper, have any of you played Fallout New Vegas? And if so, what did you think of it?
Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear. That's straightforward. I can give you an answer. We can move on with our lives. I like to hear that.
I'm going with the popular route and saying that it's one of the best Fallout games.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't played it. But I also haven't played any Fallouts, but I do own New Vegas. I also own Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. I have put all of them in their respective consoles, and then for some reason never actually started playing.
It's a kind of game you loathe, right? You'll have a bad time. I don't know why you have them.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, always... everything is so depressing. Like, you're depressed at all times. Oh. There's nothing fun going on in those games.
Well, because I thought...
Yeah, it's sad, yeah. Skyrim with guns. That yes. sounds all right.
Maybe you would have a good time. Yeah, I've played Fallout New Vegas a couple of times. I always end up going full luck, full charisma, doing a bunch of drugs, losing my mind in the wasteland. I sort of go like a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas mode whenever yeah. I play it, which is fun. It's fun to just like... I have a fond memory of in the Pit DLC being stranded, like surrounded by a bunch of guys. Earlier, I'd looted a samurai sword. I had no health. I was broken limbs everywhere, and I just did a bunch of drugs and chopped my way out of there. So, it's a great game.
New Vegas is the one that has the ice cream password Easter egg, where if you access... some building, there's going to be a security robot that comes up to you and goes, what's the password? Blah, 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 unauthorized. And if you've managed to put your intelligence so low, or low enough, you can just go, ice cream! And it'll be like, yes, accepted. And they just let you in the building.
That's great. I mean, that's what made New Vegas so good. There's so many little, like, just weird sort of, like, moments like that, or stuff that you're like, oh my god, because I did this... This one thing made this one decision. It's affected a whole bunch of other shit. Yeah, it's an incredible game. Thanks for the email, Bryce. That's what I liked. It was a good email.
And then we've got the other type of email we get every now and then, which is this is from
about
Toby.
Mass Effect?
No, it's not. It's not a Mass Effect email.
Thank God.
This is from Toby. Hey, Thumbers, you should play a game called Demon Turf. That's right. It's that type of email we get when people send us, hey, you should play this game we've never heard of.
Let me look up Demon Turf.
It just came out, and it's a platformer in hell that mixes a 3D world with 2D sprites that looks really cool. Its controls are satisfying and tight, and is all-round fun. Also, the music is great, and one of the songs is called Let's Get Porked Up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Which also happens to be probably my favorite so far. I think you'd all enjoy this game a lot, and it's on PC and Switch and PS5 and maybe other stuff, so check it out.
It does look cute. Looks
good. Yeah, it does look good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Toby. Also, there's a rude PS for you, Jackson. PS.
Oh, all right.
Please tell Jackson his review from 2019 for Subnautica is wrong.
Oh,
that
okay.
game is amazing and was my game of the year 3 years in a row. So it's actually 500 thumbs, not three.
Hey, a review can't be wrong. It's a review.
I've been told that a review
insane.
I made a few years ago was wrong as well, though.
A review can't be wrong. That's
unless
that's
it's of thumb cramps and it's less than. No, actually, if it's of thumb cramps and it's more than three stars, it's probably wrong.
Yeah, especially if you're using a star system, not a thumb system. But yes, thank you for the email. But a review can't be wrong. So whatever I said about Subnautica in 2019, I stand by. The game is presumably, I said, confusing.
It is extremely confusing.
And boring. I hated that game.
All right. And now finally to bring us home, and this is very similar to an email we got last week. So because, if you recall, we had Thomas emailing in to ask about a game suggestion for his wife, which we're all very restrained during, even though he kept saying, my wife.
Yeah, we did good. We did good.
And Graveyard Keeper, a suggestion that one of us made, Joel Dusha, has absolutely blown them away.
Oh, the rules.
So, on the back of that, Jake, a different listener, is like, actually, these idiots on thumb cramps sometimes know what they're talking about. So let's see if we can go two from two with suggestions.
Okay.
I'm not confident, but let's give it a go.
Neither.
So this is from Jake. Hello, all you sexy dog mouth thumbs. I despise that. I am watch my mouth at all times. I need some advice. My partner has been bugging me that she wants to play a game with me, but I don't have any multiplayer games. She's not a gamer and has quite a few requirements for a game.
All right, that's exciting. That's good.
This is risky because we're going to have to pitch a game that Jake is going to have to buy because he doesn't already own any of these multiplayer games. And could all abide by these list of rules.
Yeah, all right.
Firstly, she watches films like Cass does in the sense that she hardly pays attention to the story, but picks up the general vibe. And she's the same for games. So there needs to be a bit of story, or she'll say it's pointless, but not much, or she'll get lost trying to concentrate and say it's stupid.
Okay,
yeah, that's all right.
That's fine. I'm vibing it. I'm there.
She needs to be able to kill things, because what's the point of a video game if I can't murder shit?
Sure.
But she's bad at games, so she won't want something where she'll probably die a lot.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. There.
No platform games because they're apparently old fashioned.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Great.
This is getting real difficult because.
Okay.
She's a happy little ray of sunshine, so she won't like it if the game is scary or depressing. So it's going to be murder heavy, but good vibes.
Good time. Yeah, chill. All right.
She really hates cutscenes in anime.
All right. This is easy.
and most importantly,
yeah.
She can't figure out how to move her character and the camera at the same time.
Yep.
So definitely nothing first person, although it is hilarious watching her struggle.
Of course, it's always good. It's always good when somebody doesn't get that, the chaos that it brings. That's all easy. Right. That's Mario Party. You just get Mario Party. That fills every criteria. Literally Mario Party. You can kill.
Is that going to feel too old-fashioned, though? And no, there's no very murder.
You kill people in minigames all the time. The amount of times you push someone off a cliff or you make somebody explode or whatever. There's no platforming, really. There's very little story, but there is some story because you're kind of in a... Sort of like the board games have their own little narratives.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Great suggestion. She really enjoyed the Spyro remakes.
Yeah.
Sims as well, although she doesn't like there are no objectives to complete and no progress, and Lego Harry Potter, but not really the other Lego games because they're all the same damn game wishing they were as good as Harry Potter Lego. We both have laptops, although hers isn't a gaming laptop and a PS4. Sorry, no Switch yet. So,
damn
Jackson, try
shit.
Again, idiot.
Shit! Okay. Far out. So PC games only?
I'd say Crackdown.
Or PS4.
Crackdown?
Yeah.
Okay. Crackdown, what a choice.
So,
are you killing people? True.
Yeah, you're jumping around, you're killing people. It's third person.
Mm-hmm.
The story isn't really important, but it's there.
That's a pretty good choice.
Is Crackdown on PS4 or is it an Xbox exclusive?
PC.
PC?
Oh, PC.
Crackdown 3 can be bought on the PC.
There you go.
That's huge. Also, a little behind the scenes here, Papa, and also something that our listeners might like is,
yeah.
I reckon 6 or 7 years ago, Jackson and I were laughing heaps before we had a video game podcast.
Yeah, way
about
back
starting
there.
A video game podcast called Nobody's Ever Played the Crackdown Video Games.
Yeah. And we never met a single person in our lives who would ever, we knew them, everybody knows them, but nobody I'd ever met had ever actually played one and could tell me what the hell happened in a Crackdown game.
We pitched it to, I think, 3 people, and then the third person was like, I've played Crackdown 1, and also Crackdown 2, and yeah, there's a third one coming soon, and we're like, what do you mean? You haven't played them?
No,
like,
you
this
haven't.
This happens.
I've
ruined our good time.
All 3 of them.
No.
Too many people.
The problem with it is that the games get like worse and worse.
Like
it's not a super game from the beginning, but it's like it's fun, dumb action, and like the more you run around and jump, the higher you can run around and jump. But like there's one objective in every game, and that's like kill evil bosses that are taking over your city.
Yeah,
and all of their henchmen.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's enough.
Is
story.
It multiplayer?
There are multiplayer. The first one doesn't have, I think. The second one has, and the third one has.
Okay. Okay. There you go. Crackdown's an option.
Crackdown? I mean, nothing scary or depressing. You could go, well, like Spyro.
What about
I
Crash?
I just had something.
Crash Bandicoot, but
it's not multiplayer.
And it's also exceedingly difficult, so.
And it's platforming, so it's old fashioned.
Mm.
Yeah, but Spyro's like, also platformer.
Yeah, I know, and old-fashioned. Spyro's legitimately a port. What about this Minecraft? Does Minecraft fit any of all of them?
You can kill. There's nothing scary.
There's no
objectives. Well, Endermans are scary as hell.
Mm, true. No objectives. Well, there's kind of objectives. Build a house.
Well, you're supposed to slay the dragon in the end as well, so that's a semi-objective.
Yeah, it's kind of an objective.
Minecraft, yeah. I mean, you can work together in that, too. I mean, she likes Lego Harry Potter, the Lego aesthetic of Minecraft. Well, I mean, it's not, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Everyone listening knows what I mean.
I know.
Minecraft isn't Lego, but it's blocks.
It's basically Lego, okay?
Lego the movie, the game?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, she doesn't like other Lego games because they're not Lego Harry Potter. What about we go in the other direction? You buy a PS1, you get Harry Potter for the PS1. Hilarious looking game. Hilarious voice acting, insane mechanics. Just do that. That's easy. It's not multiplayer, but who cares?
Speaking of that game, there's there's a game called Night Shift, which is like interactive movie. And the guy who plays the main character plays basically every single child in the first Harry Potter game for the PlayStation 1.
Bro,
that's crazy.
Oh, I looked it up. It's like, he plays Harry Potter, he plays Draco, he plays Ron, he plays Neville. Like, out of 10 characters, he plays like 7 of them.
Oh, that's amazing. I've really got to get... What am I doing not playing Harry Potter for the PS1? That game is so funny. It's funny so to weird. Think about.
And I love the fact that the PC version and the console versions were developed by different companies, so they're completely different games.
That's
well, yeah, it happened with the Game Boy ports as well, because the Game Boy Advance versions of the... Oh, the Game Boy Color versions of the game, sorry, were like... they were like turn-based RPGs.
Mm, that's awesome, man. Good on them. Well, get
them. Good stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, get those.
Get those games.
It's so annoying, because there was something that I was like, oh, this, but it's gone now, so I guess we'll never know.
The moment Mario Party was no longer viable, I was out, dude. I was gone.
There's another one that I loved as a kid, but I can't remember the name of it, and it's like over-the-top action. You get points based on like combos and killing enemies, and you can like kick them in the face and kick them into each other. And
was it called something like Nacho...
Libre, something? The movie starring Jack Black?
It wasn't Nacho Libre, but it was like that. It's like Nacho Libre. I remember that game.
And
I remember seeing ads.
Like Guacamele?
No, not Guacamele. I forget what it was called.
It got like mixed reviews because on one side people are like, "This isn't funny as a shooter game. It's not good." And the other one's like, "It's really funny. That's the point. It's not supposed to be serious. There's a story, but nobody cares because you can kick people in the face and kick them into each other so they die."
Yeah, yeah, it was sick. That game. If you can figure out what that game is, get that one.
Yeah.
So Jake ends email with being like, "Thank you so much, guys. We both really appreciate the help. I've been totally lost trying to find the right game for her. I absolutely love all of the Sandspans podcasts. They're perfect for at work on the farm. One time I got knocked out by a falling branch and woke up to one of you laughing and saying, 'You goddamn idiot,' which was a fair point."
That rolls.
"I've been listening for a few years, but for some reason it only started on Thumb Cramps about a month or so ago and already caught up. Dusha, stop telling me to check out all the small games. Why the hell would I want to listen to a pair of true professionals when I can listen to you idiots joyfully bumbling through life?
That is fair.
Never stop doing what you guys do. Hugs and kisses from Jake in England."
Much love, Jake. Much love.
Levins is on this a bunch, Jake, and he's one of the hosts of all the small games. And I don't know... He's clever or stupid, I guess. I don't know what point I was trying to make.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of pure indignation with no goal. It was good.
Yeah. I'm going to insert that all the small games ad twice at the end of this episode, despite you, Jake.
Beautiful.
And yeah, if you want to send us an email, you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. Today's episode, 10 thumbs and a knock from Pepper. 5 thumbs from Jackson. That's 15 thumbs and a knock so far. And 5 thumbs from me for vibing out thrift stores. So that's 20 thumbs and a knock.
Ooh.
That is an enormous episode.
Huge.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Pepper.
And Pepper, where can we find you? And also, everyone should go buy Hitman Games and say Pepper sent them. To the guy you buy it from the retail store from.
Yeah. At like, EB Games or JB or whatever. Pepper sent me.
So I can be found on Instagram on Pepper, PEPPAR, which is mostly me hitting my head into things because I'm too tall.
Whoa. How tall are you? I've only ever seen you sitting down. So.
Yeah.
I'm 6'4". So 195.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's pretty
tall. That rolls.
There's Twitter, P3PPAR as well. And also a small shout out to my friends Holly, Matt, and Mac and their Pointless Reinvention podcast. Where
hell yeah.
Allow it, but this is sneaky.
Very Sans Pants inspired, where they do reinventions of ordinary and non ordinary things, which usually just ends up with Subject X being horny.
Yeah, that is true.
So Jackson and I have been on that podcast before, so you check it out, Pointless Reinvention. Pepper's not on it, but
not yet.
You're plugging it anyway.
Stuck a plug.
Buy Hitman, buy Hitman 3, tell them Pepper sent you, listen to Pointless Reinvention, give it 5 stars and say Pepper sent me. Just get Pepper's name out there. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and enjoy the All the Small Games ad twice.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.